God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. I'd like to call your attention to the bulletin cover. Some of you may be thinking I've been trying my hand at being an artist. And my answer to that is, no, this is not my piece of artwork on the cover. I do not draw that well. Actually, explaining the artwork, because I'm sure some of you had some questions when you came in today. This is actually a picture that was drawn a few years ago by one of our members, obviously one of our younger members. And it was drawn in response to Pastor Appreciation Day. And they were supposed to draw something that they liked about their pastor. Now, I will admit, this one was a little bit more creative, but also more biblically correct. This artist drew a picture of their pastor with the phrase that they like the pastor's feet. And at first, you know, when I saw this, I cherished it greatly. I brought it to the attention of the parents, and the parents were feeling a little embarrassed, going, oh no, we don't know where they came up with this one. But then I pulled out tonight's text from Isaiah chapter 52, verse 7. I was in awe. I'm going, this is perfect. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. It is a beautiful gospel message in Isaiah. I do not believe, I could be wrong, that this preschooler at the time knew this Bible passage. But at the same time, the Holy Spirit works when and where he pleases. So why am I using this besides the parallel here? Well, we have to understand something very important, that we often get confused in today's world. The gospel message. Now you might be thinking, Pastor, how can we get the gospel message confused? It's about our Lord Jesus Christ, his death, his resurrection. For the forgiveness of our sins, there's restoration, there's peace, and there's joy. Who could ever get this message confused? However, unfortunately, our sinful nature is strong, and we can confuse this beautiful gospel message. The gospel is a transforming message. It's a beautiful message. So as we take a look at Advent, Advent means coming. And so we first start with Advent in the past. In our text for today, Isaiah would have been writing to the people of Israel in the midst of persecution, in the midst of exile, and giving them the message that, yes, someone is going to come. And in one way of describing this is, as Isaiah, being led by the Spirit, says, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news. Isaiah is bringing the message of the good news of the gospel to the people of Israel to maintain their faith, to hang on to their faith, even in the midst of persecution, even in the midst of exile, even in the midst of when things are not going well. And that sort of begs the question. When things are not going well, what kind of Savior do you need? Isaiah was bringing them the news of a very precious Savior. But what were they looking for? Were they really looking for a Savior who was going to eventually die on the cross to forgive them their sins? To restore them in a proper relationship with God? Well, in one essence, they were kind of looking for going home. They were kind of looking for maybe a little bit more wealth. They were kind of looking for just about everything but the true Messiah. People during the time of Isaiah still needed to learn the lesson, like we do today, about who this coming Savior is. Yes, they wanted to return to the Promised Land, and eventually that opportunity came, but it's interesting, not everyone did. You would think an opportunity to return to your homeland would be good. But, you know, some of them made some decent lives for themselves in exile. And they're thinking, why return to emptiness? Why return to a place where you're going to have to restart, do a lot of work? And so when the exiles finally do go home, or are allowed to go home, not everyone goes. We can also take a look at this Advent past to the time of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and ask, what kind of Messiah were they looking for? Were they looking for to the hills to find the good news and the beautiful feet? No, during the time of Christ, they were looking for a Messiah who would kick out the Romans. What about us for today? Are we looking for the right Messiah? If you would ask a lot of people today, we're almost looking for the economic Messiah, so to speak. The one who's going to restore the United States of America to its glory days, where things are going well. People have abundance, more disposable income. But are we really looking for the Messiah who brings the good news? Notice in our text what's being talked about here. Good news publishes peace, happiness, salvation. Your God reigns. Your God is in control. Your God is in command. Is that the message we want to hear? Or do we want to hear a different message? Unfortunately, we live in a time where we might want to hear a different message. So let me put it to you this way, with this illustration. If our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ gave you a phone call tonight and decided to consult with you and saying, you know, I'm supposed to be coming again in the future, so let's sort of coordinate schedules here. When do you want me to come? Would your response be, well, I don't know. Well, you know, I've got some plans here. I don't want to ruin my weekend plans, you know. You know, there's an upcoming wedding I wouldn't mind being in attendance with. Well, I want to see the kids graduate. You know, we want to raise the family. Can I get a little bit ahead and get beyond some of my bills here? Or would your response be, now? And the reason why I sort of beg that as a question is, too often we get so attached to the things of this world. When we talk about Christ coming again with that beautiful gospel message to bring us to the new heavens and the new earth, we might be thinking, well, wait a minute. Do I really want to go? I have kind of made a happy home for me here. So we can kind of get a little bit of a glimpse of an idea on how the exiles we're thinking, why do I want to go back to the promised land? There might have to be work to be done. I'm sort of comfortable here. So this good news, this forgiveness of sins through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, is not always popular. So let's go back to Advent present. Picking up today's text and our artwork for today, do we see the beautiful feet of the pastor? Now, I will admit I'm wearing shoes. No, I'm not going to take off my shoes, in case if you're worried. I'll keep my shoes on. But what is Isaiah here talking about? Isaiah is trying to talk about the transforming message that you get to hear and how it transforms the person bringing that message. The beautiful feet is a beautiful illustration about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I am not him, okay? I am the pastor called by you to be here, okay? So, but at the same time, whenever I am proclaiming his word and administering his sacraments, there is Christ. But let's not get Christ confused with David Balla, who is the name of your called pastor. But yet, there is a certain similarity. Let me explain this. When we got time for our confession and absolution, I talked about how I, as a called and ordained servant of the Word, therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is not David Balla forgiving you your sins. This is Christ himself, just me speaking in the stead of Christ. I likewise, just to help confuse the matter a little bit more, I, David Ballo, received the forgiveness of sins from Christ through Pastor Ballo. If that makes sense, great. It's the difference between the role of the pastor and the person who is in that role. The beautiful feat in our text is the one who is in the role of proclaiming God's Word, who's bringing that beautiful message. And of course, it is of direct connection to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and it can also be applied to all faithful pastors who bring that Word of God. Going back to our picture for today, it's very appropriate for a preschooler to sit there and say, "We like Pastor's feet. They're beautiful, they're adorable," because he's bringing a beautiful message of salvation through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let me continue. The alb, the white garment I am wearing, is designed to remind you of the whiteness of Christ and also to take your attention off what I wear. How many times have you ever met someone and you kind of critiqued what they were wearing? Whether it was an expensive outfit or an inexpensive outfit, whether it looked nice, whether it had wrinkles, could be washed, maybe it needed some pressing. Sometimes we get distracted with the clothing that other people wear. We spend a lot of time and effort in picking out that clothes, and it's important to us. Why wear the boring white alb the whole time? Every time that I am up here, again, it's not about me, David Ballo. It's about Christ and Him crucified. The reason I have the quote-unquote beautiful feet is not because that's the way God created them. It's because you need to look past this individual who is pointing to Christ. The alb helps you do that. Because without the alb, you would see very clearly the many imperfections that David Ballo has. The alb is that covering so that you can hear the gospel message being proclaimed from your called pastor. Now, I will admit, some people will sit there and say, well, let's just joke around for a second. The reason why you wear the alb is so that we don't always see your black shirt that you wear every single day. The black collar. And fair enough, the blackness does remind me of my sin. And you're thinking, there's a lot of sin there. Amen, I'll fess up to that. Why? Because we have the beautiful message of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But notice the small white tab. You could say, well, there's a little bit of that white there. White for that purity. Fair enough, and notice it is around my voice box. So that whenever I am proclaiming God's Word, again, that's when the beauty comes through. Like the beautiful feet in our text. So we do not glorify the person who is the pastor. We glorify the office. When the person in that office proclaims the message of Christ and Him crucified for the forgiveness of our sins. But getting back to our sinful nature for a moment, because as you'll notice, when if you see me without my alb, there's a lot of black on that shirt. We have to ask ourselves, how would we want to evaluate a church? Hypothetically, if you had a job relocation or you decided to retire south where you have less cold weather and less snow, who would want to do that? How would you evaluate a new church? Do you evaluate the church on how big it is? How friendly the people are? How many programs there are? What kind of parking do they have? What kind of car the pastor drives? Or do you evaluate the church about how well the gospel is being preached and proclaimed? How often the sacraments are administered? Those, of course, you're probably thinking, that's what we want you to evaluate for. But it sort of begs the question, what kind of Messiah are you looking for? Our sinful nature is looking for things that help satisfy the self and help makes our lives comfortable. Comfortable in the world of material things, comfortable in living circumstances. But notice in our words from Isaiah's text, you have nothing in there that says, you know, being a follower of Christ, you're going to live in a mansion. There's nothing in there about saying that you're going to be able to take life easy. There are words, however, about good news, peace, happiness, salvation. There are words about singing, about comfort, about redemption. There are beautiful words of gospel. But if we're not ready to hear that word of gospel, we may think of the pastor as the one with the quote-unquote stinky feet, if I decided to take off my shoes and socks. So, in connection with today's text, as we take a look at why are we here? Are we really here to receive the gospel? Do we truly understand the forgiveness of sins that Christ came for? Is that truly the joy that brings us here? Or are we here for a different reason? Sometimes people might sit there and say, we're here for a different reason. I hope and pray that as you hear today's text, that you understand what Isaiah is speaking about, the beautiful feet of your pastor, the beautiful feet of the one who brings good news, that it is worth coming to, and that you understand that the beautiful feet is in reference to the purity of that gospel message as it is being preached and proclaimed. No, my feet will never make the cover of GQ magazine. They don't look that good. That's fine. You don't necessarily need to be staring at them. But through the words of Isaiah the prophet, you need to understand the beautiful feet that Isaiah was talking about was the message and the one who is bringing that message. Because if we truly understand ourselves sitting in the land of darkness and truly understand our sinful human nature, we should rejoice and be glad every single time that gospel message is preached and proclaimed. Every single time the sacraments are administered. And that should be the joy of our lives. Not the things around us, but the things that God gives. So this day, I hope and pray that we take our bulletin covers home, have a little bit of a good laugh at it. The artist behind it, I think, did a great job. She articulated God's word very well. How beautiful are the feet of him who brings good news. Please keep in mind, again, it's not about me. It's about Christ. So we return to Christ and we say, thank you for your love. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for allowing your feet to bear a nail upon a cross for the forgiveness of our sins. Yes, our Lord does bring a beautiful message, a message of peace, a message of good news, a message of happiness, a message of salvation. In his name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.